This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora koutou and welcome along to Aratoi On Air, your fortnightly arts and culture chat brought to you by me and my colleagues at Aratoi Creative Partnerships at the Dunedin City Council. It's our goal every fortnight to put a bit of a spotlight on the cool cultural happenings going on around us in Otipoti, Dunedin, with today being no exception. I'm joined in the studio by two exceptionally talented young men. It's okay. Both of which have had the illustrious honour of being Francis Hodgkin's Fellows, both in 2012 and 2025, with the grand return of the Francis Hodgkin's Fellowship offered by the University of Otago. Welcome to the studio, current Francis Hodgkin's Fellow Rhys King and past Francis Hodgkin's Fellow Nick Austin. A pleasure to have you both in the studio, Kōrua. Thanks for being here.
Kia ora, Sean. Kia ora, Rhys.
I just thought, you know, and I did get along to the Hocken Library opening of your show, Rhys, and I saw you speak, Nick, and I wondered about the connection between you two both. I mean, a perfect opportunity to get you both in here and discuss things and just discuss those overlaps and the fellowships within the fellowship program in and of itself. But just thought to kind of get you both in and see if we can dig into those overlaps a little bit. Discuss the two shows that you both have happening at the moment. Yours, Rhys, is down at the Hockens Collection on Anzac Avenue, the OG and Manaya. And that's running, is that running through to August?
Yeah, 1st of August.
Yeah, and your show, Nick, what did people do all day? I don't know. Maybe we can dig into that. That's running down at the DPAG through to the 23rd of August as part of their Sweet Series. Both are quite unique and different shows, but there are some commonalities that maybe you'll agree with me, maybe you won't, but let's find out. The first thing that kind of struck me about both the shows is there's a, what's the word? Like, is liminality a word, Nick?
That's a word.
There's a liminal quality to both of them. All there was for me, anyway, in walking in, where the meaning, or the thinking of the viewer is allowed to kind of expand upon what's in front mm-hmm. of them rather than the plaque next to the piece. You know, there's room for thought there. Mm-hmm. Is that an intentional kind of thing with both your works, or have I read that wrong?
Yeah, I'm definitely more interested in showing or expressing how to think rather than telling people what to think or...
Mm.
Yeah.
It struck me, Nick, with your exhibition. Yeah, I walked in and there's a kind of haunted aspect almost in the best possible way to what you've kind of put together. I know you have a curatorial kind of work history. You're a current curator at the Hocken.
I am, yep. So just on a fixed term basis, I am the art curator at the Hocken just till October this year.
Yeah.
I guess certainly with the show that you've seen at GPAG, there is a self-curation kind of process involved.
Yes.
Where it's as much about choosing works as it is about making of the work. So with the show, there's a sort of a collection of things from across time, and yeah. each of the works themselves is composed of a arrangements of things that have been gathered at different points. So I've sort of brought them together for this occasion.
Yeah, and just the way it's kind of put together, and perhaps because of the space it's been put together in, I kind of walked into your show in particular and was like, oh, am I on the holodeck? And how do I respond to the stove in the corner, the packets of earwaves and the radios on the wall, and just... and the contraction notes, and, you know, just all of those kind of things that you've put together. There's a cohesiveness to it, but where I'm meant to draw a line from one thing to the next is left with me, and my interpretation is going to be very different to the next person's, right?
Mm-hmm. I think there's a sort of I want there to be sort of some narrative possibilities that a viewer or a visitor can be a part of.
Similarly, with your exhibition, Reese, I walked in and was struck by the scale of it first and foremost, and want to kind of commend you on just the sheer volume and scope of your work.
Thank you. Seem
to be very prolific, and fast, and there's a real energy to your work, which I think you can instantly feel it when you walk into the room. Bravo. Your work struck me as and perhaps it harks to the name a little bit, but OG being an architectural reference, yep. Manaya being a customary kaitiaki-style figure within Te Ao Māori. And your work itself, it speaks to, for me, or feels almost like primitive and futuristic simultaneously.
Yeah.
Was there an intention for that, for me to receive that message?
Yeah, Tony, I naturally try and work with the largest narrative I possibly can, from cave paintings to lightsabers of the future.
Nice.
Yeah.
Your blue works in particular glowed, and I thought I was having some kind of flashback to the 90s when I was looking at them. But there's a speed to your work which I really appreciate as well. Not to say that
I think it's got to look effortless. Like,
yes.
Even though there's so much struggle and back and forth involved, I think a good artwork's got to look effortless, even though it's definitely not. So you've got to do it, for me anyway, one gesture. It's got to look like one gesture, really fastly, quickly done. Maybe it's the same with Nick as well. It looks like so much thought goes into it, but it's just there and it's perfect.
And in creating these things, is there a kind of automatic feeling to some of your pieces, or I can kind of envisage the artist, big brush strokes, you know, just getting into some kind of flow state and letting the shapes start to kind of form and speak for themselves. I read somewhere, I can't remember where, that you whakapapa Samoan New Zealand.
Yep.
Are you drawing on that kind of whakapapa of tapa cloth and things like that in your practice? I got hints of that, maybe from the sheer scale, size, and feel of the pieces.
Definitely drawn to all of that stuff. I'm not directly referencing it, but I think naturally I will. Yeah.
You came down from West Auckland. You came down from...
from Central Auckland,
Central Auckland.
Mm-hmm.
Why have you stayed? What's in the water? What's in the air? What is it about Otupoti in particular? You know, I know the Francis Hodgkins Fellowship is the hook, and once you're in, it's an exciting place to be as a practicing artist. But tell me a little bit more about your decision to stay. Stick around.
I guess for me and my family, there were just some very fortuitous personal circumstances. Actually, there were some quite practical circumstances and reasons that meant that we could stay.
Yeah.
And the longer we stayed, the more natural it felt. And invariably, I suppose, well, not invariably, but I sort of came to a point in time in my life when I start wondering where I'm from and all that stuff. And I've sort of started delving into genealogy and stuff, and there's various connections here that I've sort of spent a lot of time thinking about and dwelling on. Wow. and
exciting.
That sort of thing. Yes. And then and at some point I stopped asking myself, how's it all going down here? What do I think of this place? And at that point you realise that it's home now or something.
You are part of the place now, not an outsider. Yeah.
So I find this place every day. I find it beautiful. Mm. There's just a space, there's a vacancy for me to be in and think about where I am and observe beauty actually in the natural world and just the environment and stuff like that. And I actually don't take that for granted. I just notice it every day. And I know that I wouldn't be able to do that if I was still up north.
What about you, Rhys? I know it seems like a bit of a basic question, but there's usually a little bit more to it, isn't there?
Yeah, luckily I've been asked like this question a lot, and I came up with a good answer once. And like Auckland, feel like a cog in a machine, but when I came down here, I feel more like a tree in the bush.
Yeah, and like lovely.
Lenica was saying, it's just the natural environment, and just it feels easier to make work. Like the creative energy in the air feels a bit more. Things flow better and get connected to nature a lot easier and better. And
you were involved in a collective art space kind of studio thing in Tamaki for a while there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I've done quite a few. The most recent one was Sank Gallery.
Yeah, that's right. How have you found the kind of collective energy, the collective spirit of a place like Dunedin? Because that's something I think the creative community in here takes a lot of pride in. It's not necessarily well known until you're in the inside of it. Yeah. But I would like to think the creative community here across those disciplines is really, really supportive kind of way for a new visiting artist to go, yeah. Oh my goodness,
definitely.
People care about me, yeah, and what I do.
Yeah, that was next level when I came down, just all the studio visits from random people. Haven't really had that before, and they're all genuinely interested. And I feel like everyone in the community is a bit more of a character. Like everyone's quite distinct somehow. They don't all fall into the same sort of person.
Mm.
Down here, everyone's doing their own thing, but they all come together and all, I know, all syncs together nicely.
Yeah, too true.
I also think, if I can say something, that the role of the fellowship is like, well, the fellowship is like really valued by the community here. Like it's quite a big deal.
Well, let's lift the lid on the fellowship a little bit, because I'm not sure that every person on the street really knows the nature of what the fellowship kind of entails. You apply for it,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
A panel goes, wow, Nick's great, Rhys is great, their body of work speaks for itself, and you're ultimately selected. But what happens after that? You're offered studio space, a stipend. Explain that technical stuff for us.
Yeah, so the fellowship's been running since 1962, I think.
Good grief.
I think I should know that.
Shout out to Francis.
So, and that was set up by some very generous benefactors here in Dunedin, and it remains like the most generous fellow arts residency in the country. Part of that is because it runs for 12 months, but the award, like the stipend, raises each year, and it's measured against the salary of a lecturer. So it goes up every year, and that's not the case for other arts residencies. So, yeah, you come here and it lasts for 12 months, and it's awarded by the university, you get a studio.
Do you get to pick it out? Or
It's had various we don't get to pick it out, but it's had various locations within the university. So for many years it was in the botany department or above the botany department. When I did it, I was in a prefab just across the road from the Hocken, where now is Te Rangi Hiruwa College. And then whereabouts is it now, Reese?
It's right next to the stadium, just up the road a bit.
Oh.
Yeah. Opposite the sports fields.
Yep.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, how did, I mean, and I guess for you, Reese, being, so does that mean you kind of got down here early 2025 kind of thing? How does that work? Yeah, and I guess I am interested in Newtown. I'm not sure if you had friends already on the ground or anything like that, but being thrown into an intense studio environment with the, I guess you're compelled to produce an exhibition in a, over a set amount of time.
Yep.
How do you kind of balance that, that workload with, hey, I'm actually part of a creative community and I actually need to make friends, see what else is happening in the city, socialize, be a normal human being, because that creative process can be very isolating, very a way to kind of tuck yourself away and get lost in that kind of fugy state of creating things. How did you find it?
I find that the isolating sort of solitude, I need that to get into the zone. I need like a routine for weeks and weeks to kind of, I don't know, transcend or not to blur from reality and sort of get into that painting zone for a while. So when I came down, it was actually too much people trying to talk to me and all the studio visits was really quite disrupting, but really grateful and really loved it. But I had to almost lock the door for a while and get into that zone. And then it sort of, well, for me anyway, I feel like I don't really need to try to socialize or reach out into the community. Like if you're going to make work, if you're going to do shows, if you're naturally curious about what's going on, it's going to happen anyway. And I really don't have to try to do that at all. What I really have to try is make the work.
Or perhaps it's a case of just allowing that to happen rather than trying to force that out or try and play some kind of networking, marketing, promotional kind of game. Just let yourself and your practice speak for itself.
I think definitely make the work. People are always just interested in, if you're really dedicated and have a good studio practice, people will come anyway. It sort of draws people in.
Yeah.
And if you feel like if you think about trying to network and all that, it's sort of...
It's kind of creepy,
It's a bit creepy, yeah.
No disrespect, but I think the best connections are often organic or happen because fate wants them to happen rather than forcing the door open or forcing yourself into a space. What's next on the horizon for you? I mean, the exhibition's up until the beginning of August, and then what?
I just do what I always do, which has been painting, really, painting and drawing every day, just sort of what I do, and it doesn't really matter where I do it.
Yeah, I love that.
I've got a little studio now, a spare room in the house, and I'm just working towards another show, and just sort of live life and make work.
Favorite observation about Dunedin since you've been down here? Sorry to put you on the spot.
I really like the letterboxes.
Oh.
I don't know. Maybe it's letterboxes everywhere around the country, but I'm thinking my next series might be letterbox inspired. But they're so, well, I suppose like the houses, like the people, like the everything. But the letterboxes sort of capture these things and it's dense.
Yeah.
If you walk down the street and just look at all the letterboxes, there's so much character in each one.
It reminds me of something I had thought to ask you a little bit earlier on around these kind of I think domestic's the wrong word, but I noticed there was kind of like a seating arrangement an opportunity for the viewer to kind of sit with the art, which I actually really love and appreciate that I'm not being kind of like a piece of cattle being kind of compelled to move along and view the thing, that I can actually take my own sweet time to observe, reflect, and learn from what you've put on there. So thank you for that. Thanks. Also reminded me of the oven just sitting in your and the kind of, I guess, just the feeling of domesticity that evokes for the end user. Very homely exhibitions in kind of different ways, which I think is a nice through line for both you fellows. What have you got on the horizon, Nick?
I've been for a very long time, I've been putting the finishing touches on a book that my art dealer up in Wellington, Robert Heald, he's publishing it, and that is going to be it's sort of like a catalogue of a survey exhibition that once again I auto curated up at Whangarei Art Museum back in 2022.
Yeah,
but it's also been a really cool opportunity to reproduce some documentation of a show that I did down here at Ōtiputi at a gallery called XXX, just about two blocks away from here. And we've got some really classically sort of crummy documentation of the show here, which I think is really important, sort of other side of the coin to the sort of the documentation that's featured in the book in this quite pristine institutional gallery up at, well, the show originally was at Whangarei, but then it travelled to Te Pātaka Toi Adam Art Gallery at Wellington. So
nice.
So it's a nice contrast in architecture that the work's in, and I think that's cool. So I'm really looking forward to that, and it's hopefully on its way on a boat very soon.
Fantastic. And speaking of publications, I did see a really luxe publication next to your exhibition, Rhys, with pieces of writing from Madison Kelly and other, you know, really esteemed.
Nick Austin here.
And this gentleman right here, Nick Austin. Nick, how do I get my hands on one of those?
We've got them available at the Hocken office down at the gallery. We've also got them available online on the Hocken shop. So just Google Hocken shop. And hopefully we'll have some copies available at the Dunedin Public Art Gallery shop. I think that they'll be there right now, I think.
Of course. Nice. Yeah, beautiful capturing of your mahi, Rhys, and well worth getting your mitts on one of those publications. Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for your time today and congratulate you both on your exhibitions. The OG and Manaya are running down at the Hawkins Collection at 90 Anzac Avenue, an exhibition from 2025. Francis Hodgkin's fellow Rhys King and Nick Austin's What Did People Do All Day as part of the Sweet Series at the Dunedin Public Art Gallery running through to the 23rd of August 2026.
I was just going to say that if people are curious, on Saturday, this coming Saturday at 11 a.m, Rhys and I are going to be talking down at the Hocken Gallery with his exhibition.
Fantastic.
So 11 a.m, you're all welcome. It's free to come.
Nice. You guys are good mates now.
Yep.
It's a slow.
It's a
slow burn, but it's, I really value Rhys. I very, really value your work and having you here.
I love that you've developed a kind of way to speak to each other's work too. I think that's quite a special fellowship within a fellowship. Rhys and Nick, thank you both for your time.
Nami,
thank you.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.